Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. I'll tell you what I got into this week. We usually start decorating the house Thanksgiving week. Well, I thought I'd be doing a good thing yesterday, Lynn, and I thought, well, I'll go ahead and get started on this. And I did what I usually do. So the person in charge of the decorations at our house, she said, "Now, you know that Thanksgiving's not until next week." Oh, yeah, I know that, but I got ahead of myself. Basically, is what I did. But I didn't take them down either. So. Oh, mate. Well, today we'll look at Hebrews 11 again. We'll talk about the life of faith again from Noah, Hebrews 11, verse 7. Look at this verse. "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Our outline this morning is very simple. The Bible tells us in verse 7, three things here that I want to talk about that speak to the faith of Noah. The Bible tells us he prepared an ark. That's one. In other words, he responded to God's word. Number two, he condemned the world. And so the second point there is Noah rebuked the world. And then the third point is he became heirs of the righteousness of God. And so Noah received God's righteousness. In Hebrews 11, what you see here really is a progression. We start off with Abel, and what Abel really illustrates to us is the worship of faith, how we come to God. There's only one way to God, that's through Christ, and Abel represented the way to God for us. And then we talked about Enoch. Enoch represented a walk with God. So the progression would be this: Abel worshiped God. Enoch, what did he do? He worshiped God and he walked with God. And then in the illustration today from the life of Noah, you see the progression here in Hebrews 11. What did Noah do? Noah did all three. He worshiped God, he walked with God, and he worked for God. Another way to say that is that he was obedient to faith. One of the interesting things about Hebrews 11 is this: with all the examples that you find in Hebrews 11, there's not one example of a character taken from the New Testament. You know why? Because the writer of Hebrews was speaking to people at that day who had a problem with faith. And see, they had been brought up in Judaism. By this time, Judaism was really a worktop salvation. And so what the author of Hebrews does, and this is really the neat thing about how the Bible just, how it fits together, is he's talking about how that we are made righteous by faith, how we're saved by faith. The only way to God is by faith. That's the only way. It's not through works. But what he does to really illustrate that is to go back to the Old Testament and take all these characters from the Old Testament. So here's what the Bible is saying to us: that it's always been by faith. It is by faith that we're saved. It is saving faith in God. It's saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible also gives us here what the definition of faith is. We talked last week about how that what faith is. It's really the reality of our faith is knowing God. The root of our faith is hearing God. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we're obedient to that. So that's the root of our faith. And then the result of our faith is that we do the will of God. So you see that in the life of Noah. So the first point this morning is Noah responded to God's word. The Bible tells us that God told Noah to build an ark. This is found in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, you can read it there, but in Genesis chapter 6, God told Noah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build an ark. We talked about this when we went through Genesis, but the ark was 437 feet long. It was 45 feet wide, 3 feet long in height. So that's what we talked about. And so Noah built this ark. And he built this ark because this is what God told him to do. And so what Noah was doing here was responding to what God told him to do. And in building this ark, he built the ark somewhere between the Tigris and Euphrates River in Mesopotamia. He wasn't close to any body of water. The Bible tells us that before this time, before the flood came, it had not rained. And so you can just imagine, you know, God telling Noah to do something like this. And it really, you know, it doesn't make sense, but he obeyed God anyway. And he didn't question God about it. And he didn't doubt God about it. He just went ahead and did what God wanted him to do. Now I want to show you something here from Noah's life. The Bible tells us here that in his mind, what he did was he was warned by God. So here's the point. His mind was involved in what was going on here. He was thinking about it. He was thinking about what God told him to do. He was thinking about his faith in God. His heart, the Bible tells us here in verse 7, there was moved with fear. Now this is not, you know, being afraid like God's going to zap you. It's not that kind of fear. What it is reverence for God. It was a reverence for God that he had. So his heart was moved. The Bible tells us that his will was moved here because he did what God told him to do. And so all three of these were involved in his faith. His mind, his heart, and his will. And the Bible tells us with his mind, with his heart, with his will, that he responded to what God told him to do. Noah, I want you to build the ark. Here's how I want you to build the ark. Here's what's going to happen. Here's how it's going to be. And so Noah did that. Noah responded to the will of God. He responded in faith to the will of God. He was obedient to the will of God in his faith. And so that is the example of Noah. That is what Noah is illustrating to us. He's illustrating to us the walk of faith, the worship of faith, but not only that, the work of faith. In other words, being obedient to what God tells you to do. Now, I don't know if God will ever tell you to build an ark or not. God hadn't told me to build an ark. But I know God has told me to do things. And he's impressed me to do things. And at the time, I didn't understand it. And at the time, it didn't really make sense. You know, why, God, are you wanting to do things in this way? But yet, in my life, looking back on it, I'm glad I was obedient to him. I didn't understand it at the time. But in looking back on it, I could see. And I could see how God brings things together in a way maybe I don't understand. That's what he did with Noah here. I mean, there's a lot here Noah didn't understand. How could he know what rain was? How could he know about a flood that God had said was going to come? How did he know about all these things? Well, the Bible says he saw it by faith. He just believed God. He trusted him. And in Hebrews 11, verse 1, you see here, the Bible tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is stuff he couldn't see, but yet he was obedient to it, and, you know, he went ahead and did what God wanted him to do. Now, the second point here that I want to talk about is this. The second point is that Noah rebuked the world. How did he do this? How did he do this in rebuking the world? You know how he did it? He did it with his life. That's how he did it. See, the world thinks different than how we think as believers. The world looks at things different than the way we look at things. We look at things through the prism of God's Word, through faith, through God, our belief in Him, and things like that. Through the direction of the Holy Spirit. That's how we look at things. But the world looks at things differently. So how did Noah, how did he condemn the world in which he lived in? He did it with his life. The Bible tells us that Noah, in the New Testament, was a preacher of righteousness. Now, how did he preach? And what was his message? Now, he did this for 120 years. That's how long he worked on the ark before the flood came. 120 years. Now, I don't know about you, but as a preacher, I'd be very discouraged. Preaching for 120 years and nobody come to church. I mean, the only people that came to church was his family, you know. And nobody had come, but I mean, he just kept preaching. And, you know, sharing God's Word in the way that God wanted him to. But you know how he condemned the world? Not only with his words, but with his life. When Noah, the first tool that he ever picked up and went out there and was going to fall a tree, saw a piece of lumber, nail a piece of board. Every time he did that, you know what that was? That was a message to the world. That was his preaching. That was his example. That was his testimony of faith that he believed God, that he trusted God, and he was going to do what God, you know, told him to do. Now, his message was simply, you know, judgment is coming, the flood is coming. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, that Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. In other words, Noah lived a different kind of life. And his life was the message. It was his life that condemned the world around him. Why? Because they had a different life. One of the commentators that I read said this, and this is really, really well, I guess, to understand it. That the world in Noah's day, just like Jesus said, was a day when people were involved in daily activity. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, in Noah's day, you know what they were doing? They were eating, and you know, they were drinking, they were doing regular stuff, you know, the everyday things we do. They were getting married, they were raising families, they were making a living, and so they were doing all those things. And Jesus said the second coming will be that way. And so it's simply this, that the warning Jesus gives is that what they were doing in Noah's day is no different than what we're doing today. And the warning is this, they ignored God. And they ignored the message of God. And the flood came and the judgment came. So it was just, you know, knowing God. But one commentator, he commentated on that and he said this. He said, here's the mistake they made. He said they lost the best for the good. Another way to say that is they sacrifice the best for the good. Nothing wrong with, you know, eating and, you know, drinking and, you know, doing what they were doing, you know, and giving in marriage and, you know, just the daily routine of things, you know, putting food on the table and all that kind of thing. You know, not anything wrong with that. Not anything wrong with, you know, getting married, raising families and things like that. Not anything wrong with that. The problem was, though, they lost the best. And the best was faith in God. And the best was not ignoring God. And the best was doing what God, you know, wanted them to do. Come to Him. See, the command of God to Noah was build the ark. The command to God to every person is repentance, to repent, to come to faith in Christ, to believe in Him, and to be saved. That is the command God gives. And so the warning is, don't ignore the command. Noah shows us the example of what it is not to ignore the command of God. God said, Noah, here's what I want you to do. What did Noah do? Noah did exactly what God wanted him to do. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and to show you the uniqueness of the Bible, only God could write a verse like this. But here's what it said. That God saw the intent of the heart of man. He not only saw his wickedness, but he saw the intent. He saw what was in the heart of man, that it was on evil continually. And because of that, God said, I'm going to send judgment. I'm going to send a flood. But like I said, only God could write a verse like that. Only God could say something like that. He knew what the situation was. So what did Noah do? For 120 years, you know what he did? He tried to get people to come to God. He tried to get people to come to faith in God and put faith and trust in Him. So that's how he condemned the world of his day. A third way, the third point here that I'm going to talk about is this. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:7 that Noah received the righteousness of God. Now, the righteousness of God simply means to be right with God. It means justification. It means that what Jesus did was took our penalty, that Jesus took our punishment on the cross. And when we put faith in Jesus Christ, what God the Father does is He gives us the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of God. Because within ourselves, the Bible tells us that none are righteous, no, not one, not any of us. The only righteous person is God. But by faith in Christ, and in Jesus Christ alone, we are made right with God. And that's exactly where Noah was. The Bible says that he received the righteousness of God. Why? Because he was obedient to the will of God. Here in Genesis, when the flood came, you were looking about 1,650 years into the history of man. About 1,650 years when the flood came. When the flood came, Noah and his family survived because they were in the ark. Today, human history can trace everything back as far as us, humans, to Noah and his family. It was estimated when the flood came, the population of the earth at that time was around 7 billion people. But only 8 souls were saved. Now you think about that. You know, there's an interesting way to look at the ark. There's a lot of symbolism in the ark. There's a lot of allegory in the ark. And preachers can have a heyday with all the symbolism and allegory in the ark. But here's a verse that I want to share with you from the Old Testament. And I want you to listen to this verse. And I want you to see how it comes together here. In Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11... here's what the scripture says. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for you. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Now another way you can read that, and here's the point that I want to make, is this. The same word for atonement, right here, is the word pitch that's found in the book of Genesis. You know what God told Noah to do after he built the ark? He said, I want you to take pitch and put it on there. The pitch is symbolic. It's an allegory of the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. the warning that Noah gave is the same warning that preachers preach today. You know, we like to hear about the promise of God. And Noah believed the promise of God, but Noah also believed this. Noah believed in the judgment of God. And Spurgeon says, you know, you've got to believe both. He said, you can't just choose one and not, you know, leave the other off. I mean, you've got to believe both to have true saving faith. And that's what Noah did. But when you think about that word pitch, and you think about the ark, and you think about how God told Noah to put pitch on the ark, you know what that's symbolic of? The ark is symbolic of Jesus Christ. The pitch is the atoning blood of Christ on the cross for us. You see what the ark is for us, what it symbolizes. It is the place of safety. It is a place of salvation. It's the place of knowing that we do not have to face the judgment of God. Why? Because we are in Jesus Christ. We are in the ark of safety. Noah was a man who worshiped God. Noah was a man who walked with God. Noah was a man who worked for God. He was obedient to what God wanted him to do. Are you in the ark of safety today? Do you know Christ? Are you at a place in your life today where you can say, I know that I don't have to face the judgment of God? Because I know Christ took that on Himself for me. Is that where you are today? If not, you need to take that step to get there. You need to get into that ark of safety and the person of Jesus Christ. Come and trust Him today. Would you do that? Let's stand for invitation time, please. Father, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for the life of Noah and what Noah's life represents to us today. And what it illustrates to us. Father, we thank You that Jesus Christ is our ark of safety. Lord, today we believe in the promises that You've given us. The promise of Your grace and love and mercy. The promise of forgiveness of sin. The promise of heaven. Lord, we believe in Your promises. But we also believe in the judgment. And we also know this, that the only way to escape that is through Jesus Christ. Father, today I pray for those who need to come, for those who need to be saved, for those who need to find their place in that ark of safety this morning. Lord, today we need more people like Noah. Noah gives to us an example that we all need to follow. And Lord, we all need to be more like Noah. People who worship You, people who walk with You, and people who work for You. Father, we just thank You that today that we can surrender our mind to You, we can surrender our heart to You, and we can surrender our will to You in total surrender today. And Lord, that's what we see in Noah. Noah was a man who came to that place of total surrender. Total faith in You. And Father, that's where we all need to be today. Help us to be at that point in our lives today and follow this great example that You've given to us. In Your name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.